Blog Talk Radio.
She is married to Mr. Jerome Atkins. The couple have been married 24 years, and they have 15 children. Before Mr. Jerome Atkins married Ms. Lachelle Atkins, I believe he had two other sons. Between the two, the Atkins have 15 children. They started their own church in 2011, which is the World Fellowship of Jesus Christ in 2011. They also began a company called Prodigal Group in 2016. And also, in January of this year, Ms. Lachelle began pursuing life coaching with Prodigal Group. She's been transparent with her own experience, such as three occasions of hospitalization and behavior, hospital stress, and postpartum depression. She also does life coaching, marketing. Uses her degree in marketing from Indiana University of Small Businesses. So, without delay, Ms. Lachelle Atkins, how are you, ma'am?
I am doing well. Thank you so much, Angela. I am really glad to be here. I thank you for giving me this platform to talk to your audience. It is just really a blessing for me. So I really thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, ma'am. You're more than welcome. My interest in you wasn't just because of your children. You have an extensive resume in marketing and just so many other things. And currently my understanding is that you landed a contract to help small business increase their market share. And it's truly organic and based in Arizona. And it has secured a vendor contract. You have secured a vendor contract with Walmart and Sam's, so you are under contract to expand their placement into 30 stores in Georgia. And I'd like to say congratulations on that, ma'am.
Thank you. Yes, we actually, they have grown substantially since I gave you that information. I basically helped be a catalyst for them to open up the Georgia market. So they were able to establish a presence in the Ellenwood, Georgia, at that Walmart. And they now are going to be even launching their products in Maryland. So they have really taken to the ground running. The product really has spoken for itself. And so I just kind of helped them get on their way, and so now they are actually acquiring staff to actually do more, you know, because they were not anticipating growing at a rate that they did.
Yes, ma'am. And my understanding, you have Atkins Academy in Stockbridge, Georgia, where you're an educator and you homeschool K through fifth grade, K through kindergarten, K-5 through eighth grade, excuse me.
Yes, so actually, that was just me homeschooling our kids. We have 13 kids that are still at home. Our oldest, actually, she graduated from University of Georgia. She is now pursuing medicine, so she's waiting to hear back. She's been on a couple wait lists for medical school with Morehouse and Meharry in Tennessee. So she's home, and then I have my younger kids that are not school age. I have had a balance between having the kids that are not school age or sometimes school age kids. We bring them home to make sure that they're homeschooled. But at this point, all of them are now in school except for our 3- and 5-year-olds. So we just work with them at home at this point and make sure that they are up to speed once they start school. We just think that foundation is very important to help with their academics, to help them really progress. Because, you know, in this day and age, you have a problem a lot of times with it just being behavior, you know, with a lot of kids.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I understand that. So my mother homeschooled her last child, my baby brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing, they tried to get her to abort the baby.
Oh, really?
A Catholic hospital here in Florida. And all the reason she went there, not because she was Catholic, but because of the great care they give to mothers. So they bullied my mother, harassed her, and tried to get her to get an abortion. They told her her child wouldn't live an hour, that if he did this, he'd be a vegetable, and on they went.
Oh.
And I didn't realize that was going on, but my brother is now 21. And I didn't know the whole story because I would go over there twice a week. But I didn't understand what was going on until afterwards, and I was real upset. Because to me, that's torture. I mean, she's bedridden. She barely can get up. I mean, they were letting the other women go home on the weekends, but not her. And according to my mother, they told her just about every day that she should get an abortion. My mama does not believe in abortion. My mom has 8 kids, but 2 were miscarriages. So it's 6 of them. And she just does not believe in that. And they mean that I start to understand what was going on. It's harassment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
badgering, trying to brainwash her into having an abortion, something she does not believe in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with the Catholic religion, but they do believe in abortion.
Okay. Yeah, you know, well, you know, I'm not real familiar yet.
Believe
they,
in birth control.
Yeah, birth control.
Everyone
asked us if we're Catholic. Yeah, they've asked us that several times with the number of kids we have. That's the first question is, are we Catholic?
See, my mom had 8, and it was so wrong what they did to my mother.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand some of what you're talking about. You have 13 kids, but you don't believe, obviously you don't believe in abortion, am I correct?
Right, that's correct.
I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm not trying to make this a political thing. I'm just saying, I'm letting you know that I have a family member that caught a lot of hell. So you're more than a mother of 15 children, obviously. You're more than a family of 15 children.
Mm-hmm.
You are a family, but also Ms. Atkins, you and Mr. Atkins, Strong Atkins, are very intelligent people.
Well, thank you.
So, I mean, your business. You're business-minded. You homeschool your children, which is smart. Because my mother used to call my brother the miracle baby.
Wow.
Miracle baby. Yeah, they said he'd be a vegetable. He's in college.
Praise God.
He's 21. He drives a car, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's had medical problems, and he probably always will. But that's just my mama's testimony, not necessarily my own.
Right. Well, you know, I think that is very commendable because one of the things that I've noticed with having a lot of children is you do have to have that passion and that perseverance. You get a lot of naysayers and people that think that you can't do it. You know, it's an added anointing, I feel, that is given by God in order to be in society like it is and have the number of children. You know, a lot of people have even questioned us, you know, why are you guys having so many? And the whole mindset of, you know, we definitely are founded in the Lord. I feel like, you know, I can't make it without them. And we try to instill that in our kids. And so you just have to have that extra perseverance because, you know, you're not normal, you know, in a lot of instances. And so a lot of people are going to always be there to kind of try to downgrade having a big family, you know, because we're in a society that really presses a lot with status and, you know, careers and things like that. So it's kind of a challenge to be able to keep that balance. So I commend your mom for that because there are times when you just know what God has told you and other people may not understand it until, as you see right now, your brother being 24 years old after the fact.
21.
You know what I'm saying?
21.
Oh, 21. Yeah,
ma'am.
So he's 21.
Yes, ma'am.
You
exactly.
See what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my mom's 62. She'll be 63 soon. You know.
Oh, praise
and
God.
Ma'am.
Yeah, I said, praise God, that's a blessing. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. She recently lost her husband a couple of years back. The devil's been busy, but God gets the glory.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So back to you, ma'am.
Okay.
I'm really interested in the occasion of hospitalization of behavioral hospital stress and postpartum depression. Would you like to talk about that? Maybe you could help other women.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. This is really kind of what sparked me doing more of the life coaching. With us having our own church to counsel people, that's just kind of been something we've always done. We've been in the ministry for over 20 years. So being under a leadership and actually us going out on our own with starting our church. And this last time when I was hospitalized, which is just as recent as October 2016, it was a process that I feel that God put me through. And I learned a lot about self-awareness, being able to face my own challenges and recognize what they are and be more transparent so that I can help other people. And so that's when I really started the life coaching in January. So with my hospitalization, you know, with having a large family, our background has been that I was the only child. I wasn't raised with any siblings. And my husband was the youngest of five children. And, you know, when we got married, both of our parents didn't stay married. They were divorced. My dad passed away when I was 9 years old. And he was raised by his dad. And, you know, he would visit with his mom, you know, back and forth. And we just didn't have that foundation of seeing our parents together. So when we got married, that was one thing that we were really clear that we wanted to maintain family and relationship. So we really had no guidelines, you know. And so the only thing we could cling to was the Lord. I didn't have a stay-home mom. My mom was career-oriented. She worked. She got remarried. So both of the parents that I saw at home were working. So it was a transition for me to go to college where I met my husband. And we both finish up, and then I be a stay-home mom. But one of the things I remember growing up as a kid was, you know, my mom could never go to my field trip. I was a latchkey kid. Whenever we had some kind of function or something, she had to work. And so that was just something that really was ingrained in me from a kid that I wanted to be there and be involved in my kids growing up. So that's really how I got to the point of staying home with them. And that was a struggle because financially, you know, there were just sacrifices that we had to make along the way. And like I said, we didn't have a guide or formula that we had to follow. So with that being the case, it required my husband, who was the only breadwinner, to work a lot of hours. He was in retail. That was something that he was passionate about. It caused him to work holidays, long nights, and as a result of that, that left a lot of responsibility on me at home with the children, making sure that they get their homework done, going to practices, and that type of thing. So it was a constant battle with trying to manage what they had going on, getting myself some sleep, and just a number of things that kind of spiraled to be out of control, which led to a lot of stress, you know. So, yeah, so it really was a learning thing for me. So now I'm just at a point to where with other women, letting them know you may not even have 13 children, but you can have one or two, and it's just a matter of prioritizing and keeping things together in terms of what your objectives are, having realistic expectations. You know, we didn't really have a support system. It was just he and I. So if he was at work, then it required me to do it. And so we just didn't have a lot of people available that could help us. And we were very strong about, you know, keeping a close-knit family. So some of the decisions we made looking back now, you know, we were thinking that they might have been in our best interest. But you learn that when God gives you a vision, that the vision is not just for one person to fulfill that vision. You know, it takes a team. It takes God bringing other people in the fold to help you be able to accomplish the objectives that you have in your life.
Okay, I understand what you're saying perfectly. Everyone has their own trials and tribulations because I only have one child. And I, you know, I have many regrets about things. My baby, when she was born, she was only 3 pounds, 4 ounces.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. And she had jaundice.
Wow.
I just personally didn't get any treatment for jaundice. I didn't realize it 2 years later that I was supposed to be treated for that.
Wow.
I was an unwed mother. Yes, ma'am. And I realized years later, about 10 years later, that I had been going through postpartum depression. That I was, you know, getting sick while I carried her. And I realized that now. So I'm not going to lie. I didn't necessarily bring up my child, but I always loved her, and I still love her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got pretty sick. I was in the mental ward. Just got ill when I was 19. You know, I got pregnant. I was 20 when I had her. So, you know, the devil is busy. There were all kinds of things going on. I mean, but you, bad things, you know, shooting. They had nothing to do with a father, really. So, you know, living in the projects, you know. But I now understand that seeing never delivers what it promises. I understand that now that I'm in my 40s, late 46 to be exact. I understand all that now. I didn't understand any of that then. I was sick. During that time, people jumped on me and stuff while I was pregnant and all kind of crazy stuff was going on. So, you know, I'm saying to myself, the devil's trying to kill my baby before she's even born.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
People jumping on me and cussing me out and caring all. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, that's the devil. But back to Ms. Atkins, your postpartum depression, how did you know that you had postpartum depression? Because I did not know.
Okay. Yeah, I fall into the same category like yourself where I didn't have the knowledge. It was basically things that my husband noticed and things that my children kind of picked up on. A lot of it was not having sleep, you know, just that sleep deprivation caused me to do things that they felt were irrational, you know. And, you know, it was a shock for all of us because my baby at the time was 6 months old. So, you know, for me, I've always had a knowledge about postpartum depression. You know, they talk about it. And, you know, it's just something that I associated with a baby. You know, I didn't think that it could go for months or sometimes even years, you know, that you could suffer from something like that. You know, so it's not like if the baby's just a couple months old, you can get it and it's something like that. You know, it can go on. So as a result of that, that's when I joined with Piedmont Henry Hospital to volunteer through their First Step program in order to talk to new moms about the reality of what postpartum depression is. And just to learn that it's chemical a lot of times, it's dealing with your hormones, sleep has plays a role in it, stress, you know, just educating them to let them know that, you know, if something is not right, seek help because it's something that's easily fixed. If you are just burning the candle at both ends and just doing what you feel you have to do, you know, a lot of times you may not recognize some of those warning signs. Or if people say things, you kind of just shake it off as, oh, I must have been tired, you know. But if you are aware that this is something that really can happen, it really can have an impact on your decision-making and different things that you decide to do, then you'll be able to be more aware and take notice of some of those things that happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the church that you and your husband have started, I understand you have that you're a life coach also, and you can talk to women particularly about stress and depression and things like that. Is that what you're currently doing that, though, doing life coaching? And if that's somebody wanted you to speak, how would they contact you? How would they get in touch with you? Do you have a business number or a website?
Yes. I really am evolving as we speak. I have been on a couple radio shows, and now someone has offered to have me come once a month to do a broadcast. To help, you know, empower women and families. And I recently was on a talk show, the Tim and Braylon Show on the Word Network. It's going to air in June. But you can contact me at my email address, which is protocolgroupinc@gmail.com. Or they can reach me at my phone number, which is 706-580-9831. So what I have learned just really with the life coaching is that transparency and me being willing to share my story has really helped people to be delivered from whatever things that they may be challenged with. So in the past, you know, I do have a marketing background. And just for example, with me being a life coach, you know, a lot of times my focus might have been, you know, growing the business and how to get out there with all these people. But I have taken an approach where, you know, God is leading me and His will is being done. And it's just a lot different to recognize that, you know, He is in control. He made me for this time, for this purpose. And I can rest in that, and I don't have to deal with my own issues. I'm able to really be intentional and listen to people when they have their questions and things that they may be struggling with in their lives and not feel like it's a competition with what I got going on and what they have going on, so to speak.
Yes,
you know?
Ma'am. Mm-hmm. I understand that. And you must be very inspirational for people. You are more than a mother and a wife. You're a businesswoman, you're a woman that's went through depression, postpartum depression and stress, which is understandable when you have children, even just 3 or 4 kids. You know, can go through, even with 1 kid, a woman can go through that. But you must have a fabulous husband.
also.
And he must really have stood.
Yes.
With you.
And you know, and it had, And I, you know, that's really, like we said, our whole foundation for us is faith, because, you know, to see that God provides for a family our size on one income, to see us be able to juggle, you know, the involvement with our kids and, you know, have a balance with our own relationship, and then, you know, the challenges with peace, also prior military. He was in the reserves, but he retired as a major, and so he had the responsibility of going to military training 1 week in a month, 2 weeks out of the year. So we've had a lot of things that we had to juggle, and like I said, the foundation was the Lord, and just the mindset that he's not going to put more on you than you can bear. And, you know, our kids are not perfect by any means. We're not perfect by any means. And, you know, we had our first child out of wedlock, and then we had, you know, God blessed us. We were able to get together and get on the right track, and, you know, he blessed us with our children. And as you mentioned earlier, he does have two other children that are not mine, and but we claimed them all together because we raised his oldest son. He lived with us from age 11 through him graduating from high school, and he has another son that's special needs, and he's always lived with his mom. And so we've never put the other boys in a position to feel like they're separate. You know, it's just that's a part of our family. It's a package deal, and that's one thing we embrace when we tell people, because a lot of times people see where you are and they just assume that, oh, they think they're perfect, or they have it all together, they've got their kids, and that definitely is not the case, because it's an opportunity to minister and help people recognize that even if you don't start off the way that you want to start off, you can finish the way that you desire to finish, regardless of how you started, if that makes
yes,
sense.
Ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
So I have to ask this. Your church that you started, is it non-denominational?
Non-denominational, yes. You know, so we believe, we believe everything the Bible says. We are very kind of contemporary in terms of we have a video ministry that our son, he's the minister of music now. He's also a Christian DJ, and he does a video ministry through Christian music, as well as motivational quotes and talks at one part of our service. So we really have a lot of youth. We try to appeal to where they're at, you know, not really make it so traditional that, you know, we can't conform to how the kids are interacting with each other. You know, we think that the whole premise is the message, not necessarily who's delivering it and how it's delivered. You know, it's just being open to what God leads us to do. We're very, I guess, motivated and energized to do whatever God calls us to do in that area.
Okay. You and your husband are obviously very business-minded. But I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with all the reality shows, and things.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lady, I think, had seven kids, she and her husband. They have a reality show. They're African American family, married. Have you ever been approached or tried to get your own reality show? Because I know you are a participant with the Ratio.
Yes,
why not a reality show? I mean, why not?
Yeah, that is actually, we were pursued by several production companies. How it usually works is the production companies create a sizzle or some kind of story about your family, and then they pitch it to the network. So we have been approached by several production companies. We've even gone as far as to have them come and film us over a weekend period of time in order to acquire the video footage that they needed in order to present it to the network. One of the things that we found just in our experience is that there one is very the contract is very restrictive in terms of what they're asking for. As you have stated earlier in our interview that you see that we're business minded and things of that nature. So
yes,
we do have businesses. Right. So we have businesses that they wanted to try to acquire ownership of or some of the proceeds of that for things that were established prior to any network, you know, presentation. And so, and then once we would get with the network, then they would be have access to any of those proceeds after the show. And so that really was something that, you know, was I don't know, that's just something we really weren't interested in because we just believe God to provide for our family. And so we have very humble beginnings, but we don't allow our beginnings to determine what our destiny is going to be. We continue to have faith. We dream. We talk big. We dream big. We act big, that type of thing. And so we just didn't want to put a hindrance on that. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I mean, just in our situation, it's like you're selling out for something. You don't know what the potential could be. And so it's really kind of hard to be able to sign a contract when you're unaware of how big something could end up being, you know, or the amount of control that people want to try to enforce on that. So that's really kind of like what hindered us. And then another thing was that because our family is unique, whenever we go places together, as a lot of people take notice and they always tell us, hey, you know, we would like to see you guys on TV to kind of know what your secret is, how you guys do it. And that authentic way of looking at us was not captured in any of the reels that people did for us. They kind of wanted to, just to be quite frank. Right. They wanted us to be like a Caucasian. I mean, they wanted to be an African-American version of a Caucasian family, you know, and that really is not, you know, a true picture of who we are. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, like some of the filming that they wanted to do, like us sitting at the table together. Now, we do have family dinners, and we do have a long table where everybody can sit together. But, you know, we are, some of our kids work, you know. Some of them are in high school. Some of them are in middle school. You got elementary, some in soccer. Some, you know, doing all these different activities. So for us to be sitting down at the table every day, kumbaya, that's just not realistic. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, and
so,
ma'am, I understand.
Yeah, so they're trying to project this image, and for us, that's not real for our culture. And, you know, we want to inspire, you know, people of color like us to let them to believe that, hey, it doesn't matter how you start, you know, it's how you finish. And give them hope that you can do this, and you can do this not under a umbrella that you have to do it this particular way. You know what I'm saying? That's just like somebody who, just because your credit's bad, doesn't mean you can't fix it and buy the house that you want. You know, but we just want to be like, hey, okay, you can talk to us now. Our credits may not be the best, but we're going to give you some pointers on how we are working to get out of this. And so that's kind of like, you know, we want to be able to help with the issues, particularly that affect our culture and our people, to help them be empowered to live better lives.
Okay. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I understand you're not being racist. You're being realistic,
right,
and honest.
Mm-hmm.
Honesty. That, to me, that's not racist at all. You're saying that they wanted your family and your husband and you to be the African American version of the Caucasian family. Well, that's not you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not your family. That's not your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, some of your children are working in high school, some are middle school. It just, and not only that, I cannot believe that they wanted what you and your husband had already built, the businesses. You have, because you have several.
Oh, yeah.
Several, and you have a church also, several businesses. So why would you want to give a network or a production company proceeds from businesses that you already had started and have been working in for years?
Right.
That's not right.
Well, and I think that, you know, I'm not sure if that is somewhat of a common thread, you know, with a lot of contracts that they do have with certain shows. But, you know, it's also a thing that, you know, a lot of people just assume that, you know, we just want to be on TV. You know what I mean? And so it's like they're not going to read the fine print. They're just enamored with the fact that we're going to give them a platform to be on TV. You know, we're just not going to ask any questions. You know what I mean? We're just going to fall hook, line, and sinker. Now, I can't make that judgment for all people, but that's really been the thing that has hindered us with us moving forward. And, you know, I've never raised kids. Yeah, so I've never raised kids on TV. You know, I can only look at people that have, and I see what it has done to their families. Not to say that would happen to us, but I just think that, you know, you really have to look at, it's not just the cost of them giving you a check to be on TV. You don't know what you're exposing your kids to. You know, they could, you know, the fact that they are on TV, we don't know how people could, you know, get to them through the internet and just influence them about different things, which could end up being a bigger problem than what we normally would be dealing with in our little local community. You know, right now they'll have a national platform and national peer pressure as opposed to just the little peer pressure they have at their particular school or something. You see what I'm saying?
Okay. Yes, ma'am. I understand. Peer pressure is hard. I see it's worse now than it's ever been. I really believe that. I truly do. But I have to ask you a question. I hope you and your husband, even though he's Mr. Atkins, Mr. Jermone Atkins, is not on Showtalk today with Angela Butler. Did you use any type of fertility drugs or anything like that? I hope you're not offended.
You know, I'm not offended. No, I had you know, that's why I said these children are truly a gift of the Lord. We had one instance where after I got pregnant with my second child, we got pregnant right away with the third child that I had a miscarriage. Once I had that miscarriage, they told me that I needed to be on birth control because they didn't recommend me getting pregnant within a year. So I was on birth control pills. When I was on birth control pills, we ended up pregnant with another baby, which is actually the third living child. And so I was on birth control pills and got pregnant with her. You know, so really was a blessing for us. And we believe that God really sent her to us. There were sevens all around her birth. She was 7 pounds, 7 ounces. Her birthday is June 7th. Her labor was 7 hours. And the last thing about her, she was actually born, they call it being born with the veil on, because her amniotic sac didn't break until she was born. You know, she was born in her amniotic sac. It was really surreal. So to me, that was just confirmation, because, you know, I had a lot of fear. That was the first miscarriage I had. I didn't know what to expect. You know, you're nervous. It's like, oh, they recommended that I not get pregnant a year. I got pregnant before that time is up. And, you know, I had a lot of anxiety about, you know, is this baby going to be okay? And, you know, just fearful about even sharing the testimony of expecting another baby. But, you know, the Lord really put me at peace, like I said, around all those sevens to me, which are completion. And it really was a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. I understand that. So I have just have, we have about 3 or 4 more minutes. I have one or two more questions. So I understand she did not have fertility drugs, and that you've been approached by production, because I know it's obvious that you and your husband, Ms. Michelle Atkins, and Mr. Droy have great faith in God. And I understand that you don't have to end up where you started, which is very motivational, even if you don't have a large family. But if somebody was to approach you now, I'm almost certain that you're not going to sign with any of the other production companies because of what you said. But if someone was to approach you now, would you and your husband, Ms. Atkins, consider doing a reality show? Is that just not going to happen?
You know, I know that my husband and I, we both are very motivated to inspire people. So, you know, like I might not have considered being on radio, but now I'm open to whatever platform God gives me. I'm willing to use it to reach people. So from that aspect, I would say that we both share a common objective in doing that. Now, to me, it would be a case-by-case basis, but one of the things that we found just within the TV industry, at least what we've experienced thus far, is that it's very, to me, the lines are clear with it being a spiritual question. You know, because you really don't have a lot of control, you know, and you really don't have our motivation and the network's motivation. Just coming to the table is not the same. You know, now, they may be interested in a positive show, but at the end of the day, it's about the dollars. You know what I'm saying? And so if there was a way that we could kind of bring that to a common objective, then maybe, but just for us being on two sides of the table, looking at different things, you know, they would be motivated with this, and I understand them for that, you know, and so I'd look at it where I don't have to open that door if I don't want to, you know, but if I do open the door, it's like, you know, I'm going to have to kind of conform to what their mission is. If I want to be successful or even have the opportunity to express myself. So that is the thing that, you know, it would just have to be a case-by-case basis to kind of see. You know what I mean?
Yes, ma'am. I understand. You don't want to you don't want to make things where it seemed like that it would be good really not be something good at all. So sometimes the money is just not worth what you have to sacrifice and give up.
Exactly.
I understand, especially if you're spiritual, like you and your husband and family are. And, you know, I think that's wonderful. And especially in society where they say don't have a whole lot of kids. They, you know, they're always talking about the divorce rate is usually not causing infidelity. It's because of money, not enough money. One's a spender and one's a saver. And things like that.
There's
all kind of reasons people are getting divorced. And for you and your husband to stay married and have 15 kids, that's God.
Yeah.
Because in this day and age, there's not a whole lot of that going on. There's a lot of divorces, though. There's a lot of children growing up without parents. There's a lot of kids, there's a lot of kids going home, and no parent is there. So it's a lot of that. You know, you have parents working 2 and 3 jobs. And, you know, you're wondering, gosh, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so for you.
And I just think another thing, too.
The norm.
Yeah, and another thing I want to add to that is that, you know, people think that, you know, because we're spiritual, that, you know, you can assume that we're expecting our kids to be perfect. Now, that's not true at all. And they are going to do things that, you know, they have a choice. They have free will. You know, they have to have their own relationship with God. So, you know, we have